Blog Talk Radio.
Is the Real Talk for Real People study show, where we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and we study our people, and we study strangers, different nations, to get an understanding, to get some grounding, fundamentals, and so on and so forth. It's true. Now, as you all know, yesterday I came on, I made an announcement that I wouldn't be on that night and tonight because of death in my wife's side of the family. She, as a matter of fact, she left out about 1:30 this morning, headed to Chicago. She's in Chicago now, and she'll be there until Monday morning, where she will be coming back home. And we have other pressing matters. But nevertheless, I couldn't stay away. I need the Real Talk for Real People study show, as I suspect some of you do. And it's imperative that we get the word of Yah. But I would like for you listeners to make mention in your prayers for my wife and her family, and to pray for her safety and welfare and safeguard, because most of the children are along with her, except one, he's in college. But for the most part, no, and the other two that we're dealing with pressing matters that will be resolved, the Most High willing, next week. Praise the Most High. So keep us in mind, keep her in mind, and pray for her safety and the children's safety and welfare in the city of Chicago. Also, I'd like to thank Brother Cotriel for being patient under these circumstances. I'd like to thank you fellow students for being patient also. That is valuable to learn patience. About wine, the wine that tastes the best is the one to rest, meaning that the more it sits on the in the storage is a better wine and so forth. Sometimes, as far as the word of Yah is concerned, sometimes waiting on it, and when it gets there, it tastes rather good. Don't you think so? I think so. But I want to thank the Most High. I want to praise his holy name. I want to bless his holy name. I want to thank the Most High for everything I have, everything I hope to get, and so on and so forth. My health, the prospects because of my study and application of his word to have my soul restored for his namesake. For friends such as Cotriel, for my wife, my family, my mother, my daughters, and so on and so forth. I'd like to thank you fellow students for trusting us to bring you Yah's word in its complete entirety without any cross-contaminant. I want to thank the Most High for this platform that Cotriel and I, we work on. He's a student teacher just like Yumsu. And the reason why we call ourselves student teachers is because we're always learning. And this is our university. This universe is our university. And Yah's word is our university. I'd like to thank Most High for the food I eat, the air I breathe, the water I drink, and so on and so forth. I'd like to thank the Most High for my very existence. As he said, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. And I appreciate the Most High for that. I'd like to thank the Most High. I could go all night long, but with that being said, I just want to thank the Most High. Bless his holy name and praise him for everything. And the things to come. Praise Yah. Bless his holy name. So without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. As I said, we both love the Most High with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our brothers and sisters as ourselves, as should be, in your regards too. That's why we got a whole lot of monstrosity among us. We hate anything that remotely looks like us because we've been socially engineered and conditioned to do so. And to bad mouth it, write bad songs about it, and so on and so forth. But if you actually love your brother and sister as you love yourself, you wouldn't do that. Or you'd stop doing it. And Cotriel and I, we like to subscribe to the Most High Word. And we pray that you like to subscribe to the Most High Word also. Bless his holy name. Don't forget my wife in your prayers, okay? Cotriel, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Yah Sufari, shalom. May the Most High bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing under the circumstances, brother, rather well. I trust in the Most High.
All praise to the Most High, Yah. And our prayers go out to you and your family in your time of need, in your time of mourning. Pray for Sister Nasanya in her journey with her family. And we give thanks and praise for life, health, and strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And we know that Yah's word is the fountain of living waters and gives us our spiritual strength in our time of needs. And we're just thankful that Yah is there for us when we need him. All praises.
All praises, Brother Cartier. All praises. Fellow students, Brother Cartier, and Cartier was so right. I sort of put my foot in my mouth, so to speak, because I was just looking at it and really wasn't breaking it down. Naomi was not a relative of Ruth, so she could not have been King Dawood's grandmother. She was just a friend of Ruth, a daughter-in-law of Ruth, who turned out to be a true friend of Ruth. But we're sure, Cartier and I, that she had a great influence upon Ruth as far as the raising of her son, Jess, who was the father of King Dawood. Praise Yah. And that's why we're going into Ruth again, second chapter. She meets her husband-to-be Boaz, and she's getting instructions. But I'm not going to put the cart before the horse, so to speak. We're going to study this together. We're going to break it down like it's a shotgun. We're going to get to the crux of the matter. Praise Yah and bless his home. Holy name, chapter 2 of Ruth. There was a relative of Naomi's husband. Listen. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, her husband. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, she must have liked the guy, please let me go, but this is how it gets started. Please let me go to the field, because she wanted to take care of her friend, Naomi, her mother-in-law, and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight, I mean, she liked the guy. See, a lot of you guys, a lot of you sisters got the game twisted. Sometimes in some regard with some women, what we call OGs are better picked than these young brothers. They ain't got nothing, don't want nothing, ain't gonna never have nothing. And she saw a man, not just because of his wealth, she saw much more than that. And it would go on to tell you what she saw in the man. But he had doubts and reservations about himself because of her youth. But she had no doubt in her mind whatsoever about the liking of this man. And it's not because of what he had. It's because of what he was. Let's go on and study. And she said, go, my daughter. Call her daughter. And she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, Yah be with you. And they answered him. That's how we all need to be greeting one another. This is a great honor. Instead of, hey, how you doing? Boaz put it out there like we ought to put it out there when it comes to one another. What did Boaz say? Boaz said, Yah be with you. And they answered, Yah bless you. That's why we all greet one another. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was with him in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is it? He must have took some lacking on her. So the servant who was charged the reaper asked and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi, her kinfolk, from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued for mourning. I mean, she was a hard worker. He saw she was a hard worker. She wasn't sitting back eating bonbons and cupcakes and watching reality shows. She was putting in work. She continued from the morning until now. Though she rested a little in the house, get out the sun. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? He asked her, you will listen, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field. I don't want you to go nowhere. Stay right here. Nor go from here. Just stay right here. I told you he had some lacking on him. But stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and follow them. Go after them. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? I told them don't assault you. That's how you all be about somebody you care about. You ought to take up their best interests at heart. As in the case he took after her best study, I told these young men, don't assault you. Don't touch you. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face because of humility, bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes? That's what she wanted. That you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger. I'm a Moabite woman. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me, all that you have done. See, people get reports on you every day. For your mother-in-law, since the death of your, I know all about it, since the death of your husband, how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, that have come to a people whom he respected that, whom you did not know before. The Yah, the Elohim, repay your work, and a full reward be given you by Yah, Elohim of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, she liked it. Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. For you have come to me. See, sometimes, Contrail, you remember when we grew up and there was a song came out? It was called Try a Little Tenderness. And he used tenderness with her. He comforted her. Try a little tenderness. Sometimes the woman get lonely, that song said back in the day, Contrail. Once we try a little tenderness and have spoken kindly and then hit on her, then sexually assault her, then harass her. You have spoken kindly to your maidservant, sometimes kind words. Though I'm not like one of your maids, I'm not a Hebrew Israelite, but you treated me just like you treated them. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers. He gave her a good spot to eat in. And he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied. And kept some back. That's the kind of quality woman she was. She wasn't only looking out for herself. She was looking out for Naomi too. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. And do not report her. Well, y'all ain't even got. Let her get that. And don't say a word to her. He's looking out for her. And people appreciate, I don't know about the people nowadays, but our people appreciated it. Well, she wasn't actually our people. But even some foreigners and strangers appreciate the kindness shown to people and her regard. And he looked out for her. Also, let the grain from the bundles fall perfect, and y'all drop some purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. He looking out for her. He had feelings for her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and not because he appreciated the quality in this woman. He saw quality in her. He heard the reports about her, and he saw how such a hard worker she was, and he saw that she didn't eat up all the parched grain. She saved some back for Naomi. He saw this woman looked out for folk. And he appreciated that kind of character in a person. And he looked out for her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she bought out and gave to her. Listen to me. This is an unselfish woman. Well, she kept, and boy, has liked that quality about her. He saw her. She was a compassionate friend, as her namesake says. Well, she had kept back after she had been satisfied. She looked out for Naomi. Do we look out for one another? As in the case of Boaz, this stranger, this foreigner, we can learn a lot from her. And the mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Her kinfolk, Boaz. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man named with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Elohim who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Praise God. And Naomi's, now that's what I'm saying. It's not in there. I'm saying because of this. And Naomi said to her, that man is a relation of ours. Hers, actually. One of our close relatives. Ruth, the Moabite, said, he also said to me, you should stay close by my young men, his workers, until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi, being a student she was, seeing things could be working her sister, her daughter's favor, looking out for her, the quality of woman Naomi was. She knew her cousin was a good man, and she wanted a good man for her daughter. Well, not actually her daughter, but like a daughter to her. This is more about this foreigner, this stranger, whom she didn't treat any different than any Hebrew Israelite woman. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, that people do not meet you in any other field. No, you don't need to be all over the place. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to clean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed with Naomi. That's why Ruth's name is called a compassionate friend. That's the kind of friend you want. Ruth could have been selfish. I ain't getting that old lady nothing. You know, her son dead, I don't owe her nothing. She's just like some of us. Some of us so selfish and ungrateful. It's a crying shame, contrary of fellow students. We need to emulate the characteristics of this woman. It was a humble woman. It's a hard worker. And she was a loyal, compassionate friend. That's the kind of people we need in our lives, truth be told. Praise y'all and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And everything you said, Yah Suka, is right on point.
Exactly, brother.
We have here Ruth. Who's Ruth?
Ruth is
a Moabite. And we have a whole book named after her.
Exactly.
And why is a whole book named after this woman, Ruth, who is a Moabite? Because she was cousin to the family of Yisrael. The Moabites are cousins.
Exactly.
And she was willing to let go of the gods of her people, the Moabites, to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Most High blessed her.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Most High really blessed her because she was willing. Only the willing sees it as green.
Exactly. Yeah.
The circle of peace. Exactly. That's where Ruth is at right now, the circle of peace. She's in a family, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, and she sees the spirit of the Most High in that family.
Exactly.
So they end the period of judges, right? And we know the period of judges was haywire.
Exactly.
Every time you had a judge, boom, everything was peace and prosperity. When the judges left,
exactly,
it was chaos and confusion. And Ruth is living in that time. where Israel didn't have a king, they had judges.
Exactly.
The fact that she's willing to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's an amazing feat. Because how many people today, Yamsu, are willing to join us in serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
I suspect not very many, brother.
And those who do, trust me, it's like Boaz and Naomi. You got to honor them. You a willing servant to Yah? Hey, you can't get in your way. And they sure didn't get in the way of Naomi, Ruth, the Moabites.
Exactly. Praise Yah, brother. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Bless his holy name, Brother Cottrell. Bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, have you done with your insightful commentary? We're done and ready to proceed to the last segment of study, unfortunately, sad but true, of Isaiah, first chapter. Book of Isaiah.
Oh, praise for the Holy One, Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know you always heard me say that in the second phase of our study. And we give thanks for our King, King David, and our King, King Solomon, for the wisdom of Psalms and the wisdom of Proverbs. Now we're going into the prophets, the book of Isaiah, Yirmiyahu, Ezekiel, Daniel. The prophets lay out the mindset of the Most High, both past, present, and future. It is really the most important study of the Old Testament, especially when you want to know about the future. So, the prophet Isaiah teaches us what our role as the nation of Israel is. And the whole subject matter of the book of Isaiah is the relationship between the nation of Israel, Yah's servant, and the Most High. And it's important that we understand and know what the book of Isaiah is about, because people will take out pieces of the book of Isaiah, like chapter 53, and try to attribute it to a single individual.
Exactly.
So it's important to know the subject matter of the book of Isaiah. And it starts out with chapter 1. What is the subject matter of the book of Isaiah? And it's our relationship, the nation of Israel, with the creator of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Exactly.
So without further ado, the most important study of the Old Testament, the Hebrew writings, is the prophecy, because it shows us the mindset of our creator and what the future is going to look like. Although we may not get to the future, what the future is going to look like in the beginning, but the future is tied to the nation of Israel. All praises.
All praises.
Prophet Isaiah chapter 1, he says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Yoctam, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Yehuda. So what does that tell us, Jamson?
The time period.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tells us that the prophet Isaiah lived in the time of King Uzziah, Yoctam, you know about Ahaz, and King Hezekiah, kings of Israel, kings of Judah. This is the time period that the prophet Isaiah was living in. The wickedness of Yehuda, we know that the kingdom is split. And from our readings, we're not into that time period yet, because we just left the period of judges.
Exactly.
When the nation is split comes after King Shlomo, King Solomon, under Rehoboam and Jeroboam. We had the northern tribes and the nation of Yehuda. And the prophet Isaiah is in the time period when the kingdom is split, and he's in the kingdom of Yehuda, and he's speaking to the whole nation. He says, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For Yah has spoken. When Yah speaks, guess what? Everybody should be listening, shouldn't they?
Exactly.
Children I have reared and brought up. Who could that be? Who's the children that Yah has reared and brought up?
The children of Israel. The people of Israel.
The nation of Israel. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But they have rebelled against me. And that's an indictment to every Israelite that calls himself an Israelite. What have we done? They have rebelled against Yah, their creator. And what does Yah say? He says, the ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's crib. But Yisrael does not know. My people don't understand. Is that true today, Yancy?
Yeah, yes, Katri. Even a dumb animal knows that owner. And we're supposed to be cognizant people. What a shame. It's true.
We're supposed to be smarter than oxes and
exactly.
Most definitely smarter than donkeys.
Exactly.
But, like I say, we are mental, physical, and spiritual. And we're bankrupt spiritually, which is why we don't know that Yah owns us and Yah is our master.
Exactly.
A lot of our people don't want to hear that. But America, they let you know they own you and they are your masters. But are they really? That's the fight right there. Is America your owner and your master, or is the Most High Yah your owner and your master?
Exactly.
Who owns you? Verse 4. Ah, sinful nation. Isn't that what we are, a sinful nation?
That's
to the degree that we don't even know that we're a nation. A people laden with iniquity. And because we're laden with iniquity, we don't even know that we're a nation.
Exactly.
We say we Jehovah Witness, we Seventh-day Adventists, we Baptist born, we Baptist bred, we're going to be Baptist till we dead. Oh, you're a freaking nation. You're not Baptist. You're not Jehovah Witness. You're not Seventh-day Adventist. You're not Muslim. You're an
right.
Israelite from the nation of Israel. And we're laden with iniquity with our idols. Because if you Baptist, Christian, Seventh-day Adventist, you're serving an idol, the gods of the nations.
Exactly.
That's what we do. Ah, sinful nation, still to this day. A people laden with iniquity, still to this day. Offspring of evildoers. Yeah, our ancient fathers is evil, and we evil too.
Exactly.
Children. Who have dealt corruptly. Do we still deal corruptly today, Yamsa?
Yes, we do, Katya. Unfortunately, yes, we do.
Yeah.
They have forsaken Yah. Do we still forsake Yah?
Yes.
We don't even know who Yah is. We talk about Jesus.
Don't want to know. Don't
want to
know.
We're talking about Allah. We're talking about Buddha. We have forsaken Yah and despised the Holy One of Israel. If you ask the average Negro on the street who the Holy One of Israel is, they would look at you like you're crazy. Nigga, what you talking about? The Holy One of Israel. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
They are utterly estranged. And just like I said, if you ask a brother or sister on the street who the Holy One of Israel is, they be like, nigga, get out of my face. What are you talking about?
Boy, I do something to you.
We're utterly estranged from our Creator. We're utterly estranged from our Creator. Come on, man. Why will you be struck down? Have we been struck down, Yamsa?
By the looks of it, Katria. By the looks of it, I would say so.
Why will you continue to rebel? Do we continue to rebel against Yah's word?
You better believe it. You better believe it, brother.
And what position that puts us in? It says the whole head is sick. The whole head is sick? That means our leaders don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Because the leaders are the head, and they sick. Mm-hmm. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, whatever leader we got out there. Farrakhan, are they sick?
Exactly.
Do they know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Unfortunately, they don't, my brother, by the looks of it.
No, they don't. We are utterly estranged from the Most High. The Most High asked us, why will you continue to rebel? Because there's no reason for rebellion when we have the word of the Most High right before our face, is it, right?
True.
We read God's word 5 nights a week, and if you're not reading it, you're rebelling against it.
Exactly.
So amongst our people, he said the whole head is sick, our leaders are sick, and the whole heart faint. Does the heart of our people faint? Yeah, we ain't like we was back in the 60s. We scared of everything. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, meaning we can't find solutions for ourselves. But bruises and sores and raw wounds, they are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Our people have not been healed from the brutality that we have faced after 400 years in this country. Mosiah says your country lies desolate. We don't even know we have a country of our own, Yamsu. We think we're black or African-American, and that's our country.
Exactly.
If you ask the average African-American, Negro, black brother on the street, what's your country, brother? They wouldn't even know.
No. They start singing, God bless America.
Your country lies desolate. Ain't that what we're saying in Gaza and people going to war in our land?
Exactly.
Your cities are burned with fire. Ain't that what we're saying going on with our, in our land right now?
Exactly.
In your very presence, we looking at it and we ain't even got no connection with it, do we?
We don't have a clue, my brother. We don't have
since
a clue.
Foreigners devour your land. Ain't that what's going on? Got the Palestinians, the Israelis, the Lebanese, the Jordanians. They foreigners in our land, fighting for our land.
Exactly.
It is desolate. Is our land desolate? You fighting for a desolate land.
Exactly.
Ain't that what they doing?
They definitely doing that, brother.
As overthrown by foreigners. So the foreigners is battling over a desolate land.
Exactly.
And the daughters of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Ain't nobody protecting our daughters, our sisters, our wives, right?
No.
Are we protecting them like they should be protected?
Exactly. They do.
Because trust me, you don't even know if your daughter's a virgin or not.
Exactly.
And that's part of what you should be protecting. The virginity of our daughters. Our daughters
exactly.
Ain't virgin. You don't even know what's
no.
going on with them.
No, because we don't have that latitude and authority anymore.
Exactly. Isaiah the prophet says, if Yahweh had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Because that's how deep our sin was, Yahshua. But how do we get away with it? If we was like Sodom and Gomorrah, we shouldn't even be talking on the phone, should we?
Exactly.
So the Most High says, hear the words of Yah, Israel. Still give me your chance, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teachings of our Elohim. That's our solution. What we got to do? Give ear to the teachings of our Elohim. And we're blessed to be able to present that platform to you every night, 5 nights a week, 7 until, to give you the teachings of Yah. Because we are like the people of Sodom and like the people of Gomorrah, right?
Exactly.
Keeping to the teachings of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Yah. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams, the fat of well-fed beef. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. So the rituals we think that's going to please the Most High, they don't really cover our sins. Not at all. You commit sins and you try to make offerings to the Most High, but that's not pleasing Him.
No.
When you come to appear before me, who is pride of you? This trampling of my courts. And we're not even in the courts of Yah in our captivity, but in our imaginations, we buy buildings, we buy storefronts, and we're saying this is the court of Yah.
Right.
He says, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is abomination to me. And you remember that king who tried to make that offering of incense and the Most High blasted him with leprosy, right?
Exactly.
New moons and Sabbath, and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assemblies. So if we don't change our evil ways, our bad habits, the Most High is not accepting us. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. So we in captivity trying to do new moons and appointed feasts. Shabbat.
Exactly.
Passover. Sukkot. No. Yah hates it. Because it's not really in your heart to do it, to return to Him. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. So even when we pray to the Most High, He ain't listening to us. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Why? Because your heart is not really in it. Your hands are full of blood. And do we kill each other, shoot each other, and all that?
Exactly.
Yeah, our hands are full of blood. Here's the antidote. This is what the Most High is telling us to do. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. And you can stop that at any time, can't you? You might not have taken a bath or a shower in weeks, but you can start right now.
Exactly.
Remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes. Yeah, you ain't totally been innocent. You ain't totally been clean, but you can get off the bad habits that you have. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Lead the cause of the widow. And verse 17 is a call to action, right? Verse 17 is a call to action. Because you can't just sit back and hear these words and not do nothing. It says, learn to do good. To do good is action. Seeking justice is action. Correcting oppression is action. Bringing justice to the fatherless is action. Pleading the cause of the widow is action. Not just words, not just what you learn, but these are things that you have to be active in doing. Most High says, come now. Let us reason together, says Yah. And why should Yah reason with us when we just like Sodom and Gomorrah? But Yah's given us a chance. And He says, come, let's reason together. So your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And it's not by a sacrifice of His only begotten Son on the cross. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And what's the condition for your sins to become like white as snow and become like wool? It says, if you are willing and obedient. Doesn't say he has to sacrifice His only begotten Son on the cross. If you and I, are willing and obedient. Are you willing? Are you obedient? Willing and obedient to what? the word of our Creator. You shall eat the good of the land. He ain't taking you to heaven. He created planet Earth for man to have dominion over it. But if you refuse and rebel, which we tend to do, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of God spoken it. And to be eaten by the sword, that's judgment, and you're not going to live. How the faithful city has become a whore. She who is faithful of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Ain't that what's going on in our hood, Yancey?
You better believe it, my brother. You better believe it.
Your silver has become dross. Your best wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Ain't that the condition of our hood? We ain't got no leaders.
Yes.
That's leading us. Everybody trying to get for themselves. Everyone
exactly.
loves a bra and runs after gifts. That's the condition we're living in now. They do not bring justice for the fatherless. How many powerful people out there we got just looking for justice for the fatherless, Samson?
Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
And the widow's cause does not come to them because they sent it on themselves. Therefore, Yah declares what Yah saying. Yah of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. I will get relief from my enemies and avenge myself of my foes. So if you ain't working to help Yah's people, to lift up the poor and needy, fatherless and stranger, you're an enemy to Yah because you're
exactly.
only thinking about yourself.
Exactly.
He says, I will turn my hand against you and will smoke away your dross with lie, as with lie. Oh, that fire is coming. And remove your alloy with the fire. And I will
I will
restore your judges as at the first. And we just got finished reading the book of Judges, right? Great judges that
exactly.
we had. And your counselors as at the beginning. And that's where the elders comes in. Because the elders give counsel to the young. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. That's what we need right now, a righteous city, a faithful city, a city that's faithful and righteous unto the Most High.
Exactly.
No way can you find that on planet Earth right now.
Exactly.
Yah says, Zion shall be redeemed by justice and those in her who repent by righteousness. So you got to be authentic in your repentance to the Most High for the mistakes that we made in our lives. But rebels and sinners shall be broken altogether. You want to continue to rebel? You want to continue to go against the word of the Most High? Guess what? He said you're going to be broken. And whatever that means, I don't know. You don't want to be broke by Yah.
Exactly.
And those who forsake Yah shall be consumed. We know what consummation is. When you're consumed, that means you're burnt up, turned into ash. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks that you desired. And what are the oaks? You worshiping a man stuck on a cross, on a wooden cross. That's the oaks that you serve, that you're going to be ashamed of. And you shall blush for the gardens that you have chosen. All them big churches that y'all go to that y'all think is so fabulous. Those are the gardens that he's talking about. For you shall be like an oak whose leaf withers and like a garden without water. What's a garden without water?
Dead.
And the strong shall become tender and his works a spark. And both of them shall burn together and none to quench them. And we're talking spirituality because people in their spirituality are dry like a garden without water, ready to be burned up. That's the analysis that Yah is presenting. Because you don't know Yah. You shall be like an oak whose leaf withers and like a garden without water. That means if you throw any kind of spark, any kind of fire on that, it's going to burn up, right?
Exactly.
And that means that we're not really watering our spirituality. But here in the Real Talk for Real People show, we're watering, hopefully, your spirituality, because you don't want to be a dry oak whose leaf withers, or like a garden without water. Because when that spark comes, you're going to burn it. And that spark of judgment is coming. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Brother Cartrell, fellow students, there was an informative lesson about Yah's people. That's why we study Yah's people. Not merely to denigrate, but to get to the crux of the matter. What's causing ailment on a spiritual level? What can solve our problems? To get to the crux of the matter is, what can we do? Do we have to stay in the status that we find ourselves in? By according to what we just studied, no. But it takes earnest penitence and turning to the Most High in order to solve our problem. America can't solve our problems. By voting every 2 and 4 years can't solve our problems. By seeking other gods can't solve our problems. See, other gods didn't put us in this situation. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob put us in this situation. And he is the only entity that can redeem us and eradicate us from this situation. Praise Yah and bless his holy. And stop doing, brothers and sisters, when you are waking into the truth, what you want to do, being superficial, doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. And think that's going to work. It's not going to work, people. There are certain requirements. Everything in life has requirements. And certainly the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and told y'all, I don't need all that right now. I need y'all to get y'all mind right. I need y'all to come to me wholeheartedly. I need y'all to love me wholeheartedly. I'm going to take care of the rest. That's what I need y'all to be doing, which is this, crying out to the Most High for our ancient ones. We're no better. And for ourselves, gathering ourselves together, taking care of the needy, the women, the widows, and people just ain't got nothing. Just doing what's good. First, you got to learn to know what's good. Praise Yah and bless his holy name, Brother Cartrell, fellow students. Brother Cartrell, any closing remarks and comments, shaloms, goodbyes, or whatever?
Just a comment based on what you just said.
Right.
Like I always say, we have mental, physical, and spiritual beings. And modern day man is mental and physical. And he's bankrupt spiritually. So the message tonight is a spiritual message, because America does not cry out spiritually to the Most High God when they have crisis, right? All throughout that COVID crisis that America had, they never took a day off to cry out to Yah, did they?
No.
Not once. Which lets us know that they're just mental and physical. Whereas we're showing the spiritual aspect that's supreme to the mental and the physical. And you're relying on the mental, you think your mental is going to get you out of the situations that we're in, then you're in trouble. If you think your physicality is going to get you out of the situations that we're in, then you're in trouble. We have to connect with Yah in the spiritual realm and be right with him in order for our circumstances to change. And if we don't get that message, our circumstances will never change. So we love y'all. We're trying to bring you out this message to get on a spiritual plane, to give you some spiritual understanding, that you become stronger spiritually with the Creator who created you, who knew you before you, he placed you in your mother's womb. We need spiritual power. We need spiritual strength to overcome the situations that we're in. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, who allows us to tap into that spiritual strength. But it's up to us to tap into it. All praises. Hallelujah.
All praises. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. And most important, as I turn to the east in Jerusalem, praise you, Most High. Bless your holy name. Bless Brother Cottrell, bless the students, bless our nation, and please, y'all, bless me. Fellow students, we love you. May the Most High be with you. Brother Cottrell, I love you, brother. Stay up.
Love you too, y'all. Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, brother. Praise y'all. Shalom and good night.
See you.